All right, so we are on the Dalet Amud Aleph, around 7-8 lines down or so at the dot. We're in the middle of dealing with the problem from previously. How could it be that David HaMelech says that I got up at Chatzos HaLaila? Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, you listen, there's going to be trouble at Kachatzos HaLaila. So the question is, why does David know about Chatzos exactly, seems like, and Moshe doesn't? So that's what we're pursuing that again. So we had certain suggestions. One suggestion, and we had some suggestions before, so let's move on to newer suggestions here on Dalet Amud Aleph, around 8 lines down at the dot. Rabbi Zera Amar, Rabbi Zera says, this is what's going on. Moshe, li'olam havayada. Moshe, even though he said, kachatzos alayla, really, he knew precisely when Chatzos HaLaila was. Not very easy to do. The David Nami Haviyada. David HaMelech also knew exactly when Chatzos HaLaila was. Also, not easy to do. It came to David Haviyada. So Gemara is asking, well, if David really knew, then what did he need his harp for? Last off, we saw that David HaMelech had an alarm clock. So the Gemara is asking, what did he need an alarm clock for if he knew when Chatzos was? Given to David Haviyada, Kinor Lamele, what do you need an alarm clock for? This is a little bit of a funny question, because the answer is kind of obvious. Why does anybody ever need an alarm clock? Because they're sleeping. That's what it says. The Gemara says, well, Turei, Mishanasei. He needed his alarm clock to wake him up. So even if he knew exactly when he would be able to determine, when Chatzos would be exactly, once he's up, but he needs the Kinor to wake him up. Okay, that was pretty obvious. Anyway, Gemara says, the Vekivin the Moshe Haviyada. Remember, the Gemara said that David HaMelech would wake up at Chatzos in order to sing Shiros and say poetry Tasha. So it says that David, it says that, and if Moshe knew, that was Rabbi Zera's claim. So then if Moshe knew exactly, what did he have to say Kachatzos to Paro for? Kivin the Moshe Haviyada, Lamele Lamemer Kachatzos. So the Gemara says different suggestions. One suggestion is like this. Moshe, what do you have to say kachatzos for? So it's like this. Moshe was thinking the following. Shema yitu itztagdini paro v'yomru Moshe badaihu. Well, if let's say Moshe told Paro, tomorrow at the stroke of chatzos, there's going to be a terrible catastrophe, the makas bechoros. So what's going to happen if his people are going to make mistakes? So they're going to be off, and they're going to look at the stroke of Chatzos and see nothing happened because of their own error. So then Paro is going to say, V'yomru Moshe badayu. Then they're going to criticize Moshe for being a faker because he forecasted something and it didn't happen. V'yomru Mar. So in order to avoid that, Moshe felt it necessary to be deliberately vague about when it was going to happen and to say kachatzos halayla. And then the Gemara takes the opportunity to point out this is a good policy in life. Whenever you have to say anything, try to be tentative about it. Don't be so definitive about it. The Amar Mar, like the Tana says in Masechet Derech Eretz, lamed lishon chalomar eini yodeya. Get used to teach your mouth, teach your tongue to speak tentatively, to say, I'm not sure, to say, probably, as opposed to sound definitive. In our world, this is very strong, Musar, that we have to be more conscious of the possibility of error, whether your own or others, it says over here. And so don't sound so definitive about things, even if you feel confident about them. Yeah, so we say it's a 9. We should say, you know, something that sounds like ish, right? So that was what was going on. So Moshe was telling Paro at around Chatzos, and in that way he would not be, he couldn't be challenged on it. So what's, okay, Rabbi Foreman has a very beautiful and long analysis on the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Paro and the interaction and everything, and relates a lot to some of the what we would consider to be the strange claim of this Agadata, that as if to say that if the Makas Bechoras happened a few minutes early or late, that would in any way be significant. since it was the effect itself rather than the prediction that we would imagine should be what matters. But in any case, when it says here in the Gemara that lemeid l'shanecha lomar eni yodea shema tisbadeh v'teyachez, after all, maybe something will go wrong or something will be off a little v'teyachez, and they'll catch you and they'll distrust you, and for no good reason. So you should just be more tentative about statements that you make. Okay, so that was one explanation for why Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he himself knew how to calculate chatzos precisely, he said kachatzos anyway. Rav Ashi had a whole different take on why Moshe Rabbeinu said kachatzos halayla. Why did he say around chatzos? Because it doesn't mean around chatzos. That's the wrong translation of the word. Rav Ashi amar bipalga orta de telesa negyar beiser havakoi. Rav Ashi says, well, listen. Imagine the story, okay? We know that the pasuk says that Moshe is talking to Parah, saying, you know, at around chatzos halayla, there's going to be a makas bechoros. So Rav Ashi says, when did this event happen? He says, well, this event happened. You're not visualizing it, but it happened the midnight of the night before. Now, okay, so that's when Moshe was speaking to Parah, the midnight of the night before. And so what he was saying to him was, tomorrow at this time tomorrow. So saying this time tomorrow in Hebrew sounds, at least this is the way he's imagining that the pasuk is describing it, as ka chatzos halayla, just like now, just like it is right now, chatzos, tomorrow there's going to be a makas behor. So it doesn't mean ka chatzos as in around chatzos, he means ka chatzos as in same as now. I mean, just as today's chatzos. V'achi ko amar Moshe l'Yisrael. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'machar kachatzos halayla. Why is this l'Yisrael? V'achi ko amar Moshe l'Yisrael. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'machar kachatzos halayla. Ki ha'idna. Like right now. Ani yotzei b'soch Mitzrayim. Okay. I'm not that sure why it says over here l'Yisrael. I don't know. All right, two dots. On the subject of David HaMelech waking up early in the middle of the night, we are off on a tangent. And we have the following chunk of Medrash here that we're going to be exploring. Two dots. Le David is a paraphrase of a pasuk in Tehillim. And the pasuk sort of says, Mizmor le David, Shamra nafshi ki chasid ani. Guard my soul, guard my nefesh, says David HaMelech, ki chasid ani, because I'm so pious, because I'm such a chasid, because I'm such a tzaddik. So that's a funny pasuk. So Levi v'Rav Yitzchak, Levi and Rav Yitzchak, these two, I guess, Amoraim, I think they're Amoraim, or they're transitional. Maybe they're sort of still Tanoim, I don't know. They're saying, Chad Amar, one of them has the following interpretation, because obviously they're bothered by, it's a funny thing for David to kind of be describing himself as a chassid. It's not really typical, it's not really the profile that we would imagine a great person to have, to be boastful. So Levi and Rabbi Yitzchak say, okay, well, this is what's going on. Chad Amar, Kach Amar David Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is what David was saying to Hashem. Ribono shel olam, lo chasid ani. Am I not pious? Shekol malchei mizrach umarav yishenim ad shlosha os, v'ani chatzos laila okum lehodos lacha. Am I not a chasid? After all, compare me to other kings. All the other kings, they sleep in. They don't wake up so early in the morning. But I get up so early in the morning to praise you. So it's an interesting thing. His standard of reference for measuring his chassidus was other kings. Other kings don't behave the way I behave, and so therefore I would describe myself as a chassid compared to other people in my station, in my situation. And so therefore he's praying, you know, so protect me, because I'm such a great person compared to other kings. It's an interesting concept, how you're measuring yourself compared to other kings rather than, like we're sometimes taught, you know, the proper way to view yourself and measure yourself is to compare yourself to yourself, You can't really compare yourself to other people. You're not them, and they're not you, and so that's not really right. But this is not what our Gemara. This Gemara over here is saying David HaMelech comparing himself to other people in his station, that he's a chassid, so he should be protected. That's what seems to be saying over here. Maritz Chaya has a very beautiful point to make over here. He says, no, that's not quite it. What's really going on is a different thing. It's that what he's saying is, Hashem, it's hard for me to maintain this. Because look at what everybody who's what I am behaves a certain way. It's hard for me to resist that. Protect Shamra Nafshi, Ki Chassid Ani. Because that is what I want you to be able to keep me, like enable me to keep this going. Enable me to remain this way, despite the fact that you see how hard it is. This is not the normal behavior of anybody who's like me, who's a melech. That type of a thing. It's a nice twist on this agadita. And then the other one of these two has a slightly different version of what was he describing about himself? He's a chassid. The idach, kach amr dev lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel olam, lo chassid ani. Am I not a chassid? Literally, we take the word chassid as being different from tzaddik, you know, in general sense, as being going above and beyond, as opposed to tzaddik, which just means, you know, in perfect compliance. So chassid, am I not a chassid? I do so much extra. Shekol malchei mizrach umariv, Yoshvim agudas agudas bechvodam. Like all the other malachim in the world, they all sit there entirely wrapped in their luxuries. They are not exposed to anything other than just luxurious experiences. Vani, but me, yadayim uluch lachos bedam ubishfir ubishilya kedei letaher isha lebala. But me, I sit there, my hands are full of blood and placental stuff and stuff in order to lahatir kedele taher isha lebala. So in his role as a posek, I guess that's how we can try to we conceive of David HaMelech this way. And so you know when it's whether when a woman, let's say, has a miscarriage, you have to know how to deal with that. What's the status? Is that just nidus? Is it very early in the pregnancy so as to not have a status of later? Or is it going to be later? You have to kind of check and see how developed is the embryo. We don't really have that practice these days, but back then they used to try to stick to the letter of the law a lot more, and they had more confidence in their ability to be more discerning about these things. So David HaMelech would actually be osek and very gross stuff, which would be different from the whole lifestyle of other malachim. Same kind of a concept, is that he was highlighting how different he is from others. And the reason this medrash is brought in, of course, because it touches on the notion of him waking up so early in the middle of the night, like came up earlier. Below Od, and not only that, but what else do I do? Kol mashani osani nimlach mimipi boshes rabbi. The Omer lo mipi boshes rabbi, yafe danti, yafe chayavti, yafe zakhisi, yafe tiharti, yafe timesi, velo boshti. Not only that, but I, other malachim, I guess they're all full of themselves. And so they have a hard time consulting with others and respecting other people's opinions, and that's not what I am. I would frequently confer with mipi boshes. And I would say, Did I say this thing the right way? Did I rule the right way? And did I say this thing is mutter and asr and whatever? And presumably the point being that he would sometimes have to say to him, no, you were wrong, and you should have considered this, and you thought of it the wrong way, and you didn't, and you forgot about this other thing, and you did this wrong. And so velo boshti, and I wasn't ashamed to talk to him in that way and to hear those words from him. So I'm a chassid. All right. Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Berei de Rabbi Ibi, Maikra. Where do you ever see any of this happening, like in the Psukim, indicated in the Psukim? It says the Pasuk there, Va'adabra be'idosecha neged melachim velo eivosh. Right? In contrast to other melachim, I wasn't embarrassed by Chaki Gover, like these halachos or decisions. All right, Tana Braisa, Lomi Pi Boshes Shemo, Ella something Shemo. Now this Braisa calls him Pi Boshes. So if you look over the psukim, it doesn't require much other than just reading through the Tanakh to know that there's a lot of confusion about the names going on over here. If you read through the psukim, here's what you'll discover. That Shaul had three sons who died with him, Jonas, including Jonas' son, died with him in that final battle there where the Plishtim wiped them out. But there was a fourth son called Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth, who at some later time temporarily kind of maintained the status of Melech for a little while. This guy Ishbosheth, that was Shaul's fourth son. And presumably, it's very likely, that's the one that we're talking about over here, was David HaMelech's Rebbe. Now, Mipi Boshes was a different guy. That was this guy Ishbosheth's nephew, Yonasan's own son, Mipi Boshes. Yonasan's son, Mipi Boshes, was a little kid at the time that David HaMelech took over. And so later on in life, David HaMelech kind of locates Mipi Boshes and he keeps him close to the family and all that. So whatever's happening over here in the Gemara, it seems to be that we're talking about Ishbosheth rather than Mipi Boshes, and he's just being nicknamed here as Mipi Boshes, but really Ishbosheth Shemo. However, say again? Yes, he was killed soon after the transition to when David took over as Melech. So I don't know. So it could be that, as you say, that there couldn't have been a lot of time for David HaMelech to be conferring with Ishbosheth. It may have only been at that small amount of time before David was formally coronated, recognized as king. It was a small amount of time there. But you're right. So if it really means Mipiboshes, then you have to imagine that later in life, David HaMelech is describing that this kid grew up and he became a great person, certainly under David HaMelech's own, you know, raising of him. But then he became his Rebbe. And then it's an even more kind of a significant relationship where he's saying Mipiboshes, which is the guy he would confer with, I don't know. But on the other hand, he was like part of the family. And I don't know exactly. It's still a bit vague. What the Gemara understood here in this story. So it says here, Le'ish Boshes Shemo. So if it's really Mipi Boshes, then he's not Ish Boshes. Those are two different people. So on the side, it tells you that the Ein Yaakov has, and the Rabbeinu Tam and the Tosfos spend some time trying to sort this out also. Doesn't really get that far, but he points out this. The whole business of names comes from the fact that we are given two chronicles of names. One is in Shmuel Beis, where all these psukim are. But then there's a very brief list of names in the family in Divrei Hayamim. In Divrei Hayamim, it doesn't give the same names. It gives different names for some of these same people. And so when it describes Ishbosheth, it doesn't call him Ishbosheth. It calls him Ishbaal. That's what it calls him. It just calls him Ishbaal, is Shaul's fourth son. So that's what he points out here on the side. And so that's what it means. So then it doesn't mean Mipi Boshes is really Ish. It means a different thing. Ishbosheth is really Ishbaal. B'lam enikrishmo Mipi Boshes. Okay, I don't know how to unpack all of this. I don't really know what's going on. But anyway, why is he called Mipi Boshes? Shehayim Mevayesh Pnei David Behalacha. Mipi Boshes is like Mevayesh Pnei Behalacha. So that's okay. Anyway, so that he was so good and David was so kind of subordinate to him that he could humiliate David Behalacha. Anyway, the fact that David put up with this and he was welcoming this type of a thing. So that's why David had a son of the various kids in his family. One of them was a guy named Kilav. And so this Kilav was apparently an extraordinary kid. And so we're going to see a little bit more of him on this daf. And V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo kilav shmo, ala Daniel shmo. Really, his name was Daniel. Now, what would make the Gemara think that? Well, that's this. Because when you look in Divrei HaYamim and it lists the names of David HaMelech's family and it tells you which kids he had from which wife, the wife, Avigail, that was the one that David HaMelech marries after her first husband dies. So when David HaMelech marries Avigail, they have this kid, which is called Kilav in Shmuel, but it's called Daniel. In Divrei HaYamim. That's what it says here. Yochanan says, "Lo Kilav Shmo, Daniel Shmo. Kilav was a nickname. Lo Manikra Shmo Kilav. Shem Machlim Pnei Mipiboshes Be'alacha." Because this kid Kilav was much better than Mipiboshes in Alacha. Makes you wonder a little bit, why wouldn't David have conferred with his son Kilav about things? I don't know. Be'alav Amar Shlomo Bechachmaso, and that's the type of a thing that Shlomo Melech said in his Chachma in Mishlei. B'neim Chacham Libecha. Libcha yismach libi gam ani, in the sense of where you're so happy about your kid becoming so accomplished, such a chacham, that I rejoice over that myself rather than feeling kind of threatened or intimidated by it. And then on this side, they point out that where it says bechachma so, that's not appropriate for Mishlei, because we don't refer to Mishlei as being chachmas Shlomo really. But anyway. So what is this? So kind of it comes around full circle, really, is that David HaMelech's son seems to be an extraordinary and accomplished Talmud Chacham, even more than Mipiboshes, which David HaMelech kind of was learning from and was dependent upon. And so, okay, it's nice to see these kinds of things come around. Okay, now, the Gemara has this problem. But David mikari lenafshei chassid, would David really regard himself as a chassid? V'haksiv, but it goes against a different pasuk and a different tagadata. Pasuk says, Lulei ha'amanti liros betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. We know that pasuk, that's at the end of L'David. So pasuk says, seems to be saying, Lulei ha'amanti liros betuv Hashem, if I hadn't had the emunah, in other words, if I could only be so optimistic as to imagine that I would be able to see liros b'tuv Hashem b'eretz chayim, to see a glorious future. It's a funny expression, but v'tana mishmei de Rabbi Yossi lama nakud alulei. We don't know this because we don't really ever read the Tanakh from a klaf. But in the klaf, apparently you have to have dots over the words over lulei, like we have many times in the Chumash, like we had in this past parsha. Amar David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what the dots signify? David HaMelech saying to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam. He says, and there's more to fill in over here. Rashi does a good job here filling in. What's going on is presumably that in the previous pasuk in L'David, it says that I don't know. It says, Kamabi Eide Shekhar B'fei HaChamas, so that I'm threatened from all these other people who are trying to do harm to me. And so now David says, you know, I hope that things will come out good. So it's a funny thing for him to say. What do you mean I hope things will come out good? You mean that you don't really trust Hashem is going to make it good if you deserve good? So this is the way Rabbi Yossi, Ritana Shemid Rabbi Yossi, Lama Nakar Alulei, Amar David, Nekadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Muftach Ani Bach, She'ata Mishalem Schar Tov Letzadikim. It's not that I don't trust you, it's that I don't trust me. I don't know if I'm deserving him love or not. So we're seeing from this Agadita, we're seeing that David HaMelech felt unsure about his own standing. But earlier we're being told that David HaMelech was saying, you know, I know that I'm great. So it's a funny thing. So what really is it? What are we supposed to think that David HaMelech held about himself? My answer is Shema Yigrom HaChet. Well, David HaMelech was enough of a realist, you know, and this is the way it's being said of Rashi explains what the Gemara's answer is. The Gemara's answer is that David HaMelech accurately understood that he was a chassid, and he was amazing. He was terrific. He was, you know, over and above, great. But what was he so worried about? Whether he would be Zocha? He says, well, that's what it is now. But you never know how things are going to change. You never know if I'm going to be able to continue this way. And so David understood that, you know, just because right now I feel like I'm doing the right things doesn't mean that I think in the future I'm always going to continue to be doing the right things. It's an interesting mussar. So that concept, Shema Yigrom HaChet, maybe I'll change. Maybe I'll fall into sin. In which case, whatever I have been now is not going to save me for then. Kid Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, the Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Rami, same kind of an attitude as we see about Yaakov Bar Idi commenting about Yaakov Avinu. Rami, he points out a contradiction in Psukim. Ksiv hine anochi imach lishmartich b'chal asher tzei leif. When Yaakov Avinu was running out to, away from Israel to go to Lavan's house, Hashem promises him in the dream, I'm going to protect you. I'm with you, and I'll protect you. And then when he returns from there, when he's about to encounter Esav, it says that Yaakov is all panicked. That you're a Yaakov Ma'od. He's all afraid. So what's he afraid of? If he knew that Hashem promised him that he's going to take care of him, he's going to protect him, what does he have to be afraid of? So Yaakov Ridi says, Shema, in this case it's not Yigron, but it's Shema Gara Machet. Maybe Yaakov Avinu was saying, maybe I'm not deserving. Maybe I did something wrong. Kedisanya, and this is consistent itself with another attitude that we're seeing elsewhere in this other brisa. The brisa says on the pasuk in Az Yashir, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa, referring kind of to a double, incursion of Am Yisrael into Israel. And it refers to a double incursion. And the implication being that Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem Zobi Yerishona, that's the first time that the Jews are going to enter Israel. Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa is going to be Yishniyah, that's the second time. Mikan Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim said, you see from the Pasuk putting them together, is that they really ought to have been the same. Re'uim Ha Yisrael Layasos Lehem Nes Bimei Ezra, Kader Shanasa Nes Bimei Yehoshua Binun. Really, the Jews ought to have had the same type of miraculous arrival in Israel under Ezra as they did have under Yehoshua ben Nun. Ela shegara machet. But they didn't deserve it. And so you see that what could happen over time is that when there's a plan, it doesn't mean that the plan is necessarily going to happen. And even when there's a promise, and even when Hashem promises, and even when you're deserving at one time, things could still change. All right, two dots. Back to the halachas of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, if you remember, is talking about the Sof HaZaman Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. When can you say Shema at night? It says a couple of opinions. First opinion is the end of the first Ashmores HaLayla. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim say Chatzos, and Rabbi Gamliel says all night long for Shema. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question about the Chatzos opinion. The Chachamim have an opinion about Chatzos. Rashi explains what's going on over here. Rashi in the Mishnah and over here makes the same comment. He says, look, everybody knows what the rules of Shema B'Laila are. They're, as the Pasuk says, B'Shachpacha. B'Shachpacha means when you go to sleep, when you're going to sleep. That means at night. So you have to say Shema at night. So what kind of a machlokas? Why is there a machlokas about the Zman of Shema at night? So Rashi says, well, because the word B'Shachpacha, when you go to sleep, could mean different things. One thing it could mean is when you're going to sleep, like when you go to bed, and the other opinion is when you are sleeping, when you're shochev. So which meaning is the meaning that's relevant? So Rashi says that seems to be what's going on. That's the machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer says only the first part of the night, when you're going to sleep, versus Rabbi Gamliel says when you are sleeping all night long. So now the problem is Chatzos doesn't fit either of these. So that's what the Gemara is asking. Chachamim kaman sfir lehu. Who did the Chachamim hold like? Ik Rabbi Eliezer. If they're holding like Rabbi Eliezer, that they're learning the pasuk is when you're going to bed, then lemruk Rabbi Eliezer. They should say it's only the first part of the night. What's chatzos? Vika Rabbi Gamliel. We're on Amid Beis now. Dalet Amid Beis. Vika Rabbi Gamliel. If they hold that the word in the pasuk is b'shach b'cha, when you're sleeping, when you're in bed, so then why stop at Chatzos? So you're the lamer kerabban and kerabban gamliel. So the Gemara answers, okay, well, here's what's going on. Li olam kerabban gamliel, sevira lehu. The Chatzos Shita, when it says Chachamim hold Ar Chatzos, they really hold fundamentally the Rebbe Gamliel. So you really have all night long. When the Pasuk says you have to say Shema at night, it means just at night, B'Shach B'cha, when you are in bed, when people generally are in bed. V'hade Ko'abri Ar Chatzos, so then why do they say it has to be until Chatzos? K'day L'harchik Esu'ada Min Ha'aveira. So as to create a buffer, so as to create some kind of a fence, a protection, so that people shouldn't miss it all together. Kedisanya, as it's kind of spelled out in this braisa. There's a braisa that says the following picture. It says, Chachamim, the Chachamim, the Shita of the Chachamim, by saying Ar Chatzos, Asu Siyag LeDivreihem. They were making this Siyag for their... Meaning their ruling is a reflection of a siyag against the violation of this din in the Torah. Because what are they foreseeing? Kedesha lo yehe adam bamin asadeh. Imagine somebody comes home from work, be'erev, in the evening. Ve'yomer, and what's he going to do? So what's he going to do at night? He's going to say, Eilech lebeisi, let me go home. Ve'yochel kima, let me eat something. Ve'yeshte kima, and let me eat and drink something. V'yishan kima, let me take a nap. V'yachar kach, ekor kriya shema v'yespalel. And then afterwards, I'll daven. I'll say shema and daven marav. By myself, at home, I guess. V'chot faso shena. And what's going to happen is, we all know, you're going to fall asleep, and you wake up in the morning. V'nimtza yeshik, kol alayla. So you missed it. So you missed it because that is, because whenever you're going to allow yourself to do that, and then we can just foresee that it's going to be really hard for you to daven. So instead, we want you to do this. Aval, adam bam and asada be'erev nechnas lebeis haknesses. So you come home from work, first thing you should do, before you even go home, is go to shul. Imragel lekros korei, imragel lishnos shona. And learn something in the beis ha'medrash, in the shul. Wait until they start marv. They korei kriya shema mispalel, and then when there's a minyan or whatever, whenever they scheduled marv for, then you'll daven marv. V'yachol pita, and then go home. V'yachol pita, mevarech. Then you can go home and eat and do whatever you want. And you got all your obligations out of the way, and that's great. And then, the punchline of this braisa, V'kola over al divrei chachamim chayiv misa. And anybody who violates the prescription of the chachamim deserves to die. So, now the Gemara here asks a question. Interestingly, the Rabbeinu Yonah asks the exact same question on his own. It's funny, like he didn't have this whole chunk of Gemara here. The Gemara asks, why did the Braisa have to finish off with that kind of a harsh conclusion? But it'd have to finish off with that warning of, remember, if you don't follow the prescription of the Chachamim, you deserve to die. Why do they have to say that here? It's not different from any other, ruling of the Chazal, of the Durabanan. Maishna b'chol duchta delo katani chayv misa. U'maishna acha de katani chayv misa. So the Gemara gives a couple of answers. It says, well, there's some reason specifically over here why people would tend to ignore it if not for reinforcing our instructions with this threat. Why? Because Mishum Dika Onas Shena. Well, because over here we're trying to fight against, people being tired. So it's really hard to fight that. So if we're going to try to battle that, we have to try to boost up our threat and threaten people that if you don't follow the Chacham Chayiv Misa, even if you're tired. Rashi learns if you're tired. I think you could also say it means onus misa. It means, well, people can kind of justify what they're doing, the mistakes that they make, by saying, well, look, if I miss it, it's not because I was sleeping, not because on purpose I was trying to miss it. And so we can kind of be more heter and excuse ourselves in a way where we don't want that excuse. And so we want to try to encourage people not to think that way. And so we remind everybody that you can't violate these prescriptions of the Chazal. That's what one version is. The other version is the Baiseim Eliapuki Miman Diyamer Tefilas Arvis Rishus Kmashmal and Dechova. This other opinion is kind of fascinating. It says, well, no, maybe the reason why they had to threaten you is because there's a whole machlokas going on later on about whether Mariv is Rishus or Chova. We'll get to that, I don't know, in however many years. So the machlokas about Mariv is a little different from Shachris and Mincha. The Chazal, in instituting the tefillah keneged the korbanos, there is no korban at Mariv. And so there's a machlokes about whether exactly what was the nature of the obligation of Marv when they instituted the tfilos in the times of the Knesset HaGedolah. Then was Arvis a Rishus Rechova. So if you're on the assumption that Mariv is Rishus, so think about the implications then of that. So if Mariv is Rishus, it's not a big deal. So even if I'm going to say it, but it's still, it's not such a big deal. So if I'm hungry, I should be allowed to just come home, take care of, you know, I'll eat up, whatever. And so then it'll turn out that we can foresee the very high incidence of people not opting for the Rishus of Mariv. But that comes along with the cost, because you're generally not going to say Shema if not in the context of Mariv. So presumably, your failure to daven Mariv is going to be more costly because of the lack of Shema. Meaning, so you're going to have missed Shema, and that's a kind of a higher stakes issue. So when it says over here, Kamash Malan Chova, what it's saying is, Kamash Malan, that know that this Braisa is taking the view that Tfilas Arvis is Chova. I don't know exactly why it had to say it that way. Maybe it doesn't exactly mean that Kamash Malan that it's Chova, Kamash Malan that anyway there's Shema, that you have to say Shema, and you're not going to necessarily be saying Shema. Or maybe it means that Kamash Malan that this price that holds that Tefillah service is Chova. I don't know. Okay, we have a few more minutes here. Amar Mar. Amar Mar means that the Tana said, but in our case it means that earlier we quoted the following Braisa, and let's explore it a little bit more. Amar Mar, Kore Kriya Shema Mispalel. So the wording of the Braisa is that what you're supposed to do when you finish work is go to shul, learn, and then the wording is, it could have just said, and then Davin Mar, but it doesn't. It says, say Shema and Davin. Say Shema and say Shemona Esrei. Shema and Shemona Esrei. So that's interesting. What's so interesting? That's what it is. What's so interesting about that? Well, what's interesting is that we often are so used to our ways of doing things that we're oblivious to other possibilities. Really, the Shema, the Mariv is two parts. There's the Shema with the Brachos and the Shemona Esrei. Now, we always say Shema with the Brachos and then right away Shemona Esrei. But those are really separate pieces of davening. It could have been the other way around. It could have been, let's start Mariv. We have a minion, so we'll start Shemona Esrei. And then when we finish Shemona Esrei, then we'll say Shema with the Brachos. Why did it have to be Shema with the Brachos first and then Shemona Esrei? That's the issue that's coming up in our Gemara. So the wording of the Braisa was, you say Shema, you say Shemona Esrei. That's what we're familiar with. That didn't really trigger anything in our world. So let's see what it says here. Amar Mar, Korek Yishma Mispal, Misayei Aleila Reb Yochanan. Aha, this Braisa supports Reb Yochanan's Shita. Reb Yochanan is an Amora. That's why the Gemara considers those things to be valuable. Whenever you have statements of Amoraim, but you find Braisas with Tanoim saying the same type of a thing, that's good. Because you're supporting the statement of the Amora with a statement from Tana. So we have this Braisa. That's Misayei Aleila Reb Yochanan. The Amar Reb Yochanan, because Reb Yochanan has the following comment. He says, Eizeh Ben Olam Abba. Who is considered a ben olam haba? Who's going to earn olam haba? Is that a somech geula letfila shel arvis? Somebody who's connects their gal yisrael geula with shemona esrei, gal yisrael and shemona esrei shel arvis. And then Rashi just points out koshkein shachris also, but it means even arvis. So and that's what we all do. So that's great. So that's great for us. So we are good at that. So we certainly earn our olam haba according to this. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is another first generation. I'm more like Rabbi Yochanan. He says that's not true. That's not necessary. He says tfilos be'emza tiknum. You're supposed to put your Shemona Esrei in between the Shemas. You're supposed to say at Shachris Shema then Shemona Esrei, but then at Mariv it's supposed to be Shemona Esrei and then Shema, and not the other way, not the way that we're used to saying it. So the Gemara says, well, b'mayka mifligi. What are they arguing about? The Gemara says, well, they're arguing about one concept, which can either be rooted in a svara or it can be rooted in a pasuk. Ibayseim a svara. Maybe what they're arguing about, well, like one way to say it is that they're arguing about the following concept. They're b'yochanan savar, g'ula me'urta nami hevi. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the geula was Balayla. So what's going on in our Gemara is we're going to say the following. We're saying the principle is you have to connect Geula L'Tfila. What in the world is the basis for that value? Why is it worthwhile or important to connect Geula to Tfila? We make a big fuss about it. We make such a gigantic fuss about it that at Shachris time, you know, the Chazan kind of peters out when he says Gal Yisrael in order to not lead to the dilemma of whether people are supposed to say Amen. So because we're so uncomfortable with even an Amen as being an interruption between Geula and Tfila, so we're so fussy about that. What's the big deal? What is so great about it? The Rashi just quotes here, that's based on the Psukim, that Rashi just tells you. It says here, well, at the end of the Kapitel Yates, it says, Hashem Tzriva Goali, Besamachla Yancha Hashem, Beyom Tzara. So, okay. But that's not a conceptual connection. That's just why, that's just like where you see in Psukim such a connection. The concept, of course, is, and I guess we'll see it a little bit later on, but the point being that you have to mention Hashem as the Goel, and once you're describing Hashem as the Goel, take the opportunity, we're going to see that later on in Daf, take the opportunity to ask Hashem for your needs, for your tefillah. So you pray, you first describe Hashem as the Goel, and then your needs. Well, describing Hashem as the Goel, we don't do that all the time. We don't do that at Mincha, for example. So why are we doing that at Shacharis? Because the Birchas Kriya Shema has the Geula component, because Shema has Geula, Asher Atzei Sicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, as being the mitzvah of mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim has the Geula component. As opposed to at Mariv is a question, was there Geula, is there a requirement of Geula, is there a mention of Geula Balayla? If no, then there's no need, then Marv is like Mincha, there's no need to mention Geula, and there's no need to connect Geula to Tefillah. But if yes, so it's the same as Shacharis. So then you would say you have to mention Geula, it's part of the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, Balayla, and then you would have to connect it to Shemoneh Esrei. So that's what our Gemara over here is saying, if you hold the Geula happened Balayla, so then of course there's the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, Geula, Balayla, just like B'yom. That's what the Gemara says. The Sevara in Machlokes is, do we consider the Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim as being a Zman of Geula? So he says that Rabbi Yochanan held Geula was Balayla. That's what it says. Rabbi Yochanan Sabra Geula Me'urta Nami Hevi. El Geula Mal Yisrael Hevi Yela Tzafra. Okay, everybody agrees they didn't walk out of Mitzrayim until the day, the morning. But Rabbi Shimon ben Levi Sabra, given the Lohav Yela Mitzafra, Lohav Geula Me'urta Mal Yisrael all, and therefore there's no requirement of Geula, therefore there's no requirement to connect the Geula to the Tefillin, and that whole requirement is only for Shacharis, not for Mariv. By saying Mikra, another way to understand the Machlokas is having to do with Psukim. The Psukim, namely, Shnei HaMikra Echa Darshu, Ksiv B'Shachbacha Uvekumecha. The Pasuk says that you have to say Shema B'Shachbacha Uvekumecha when you're going to sleep, when you wake up. So there's supposed to be some parallelism to going to sleep and waking up. In other words, the nighttime Shema and the morning Shema. What's the parallelism? Rabbi Yochanan Savar, the parallelism is like this. Makesh Chiva Lekima, they have to be the same. Makima, Kriya Shema, then Tfila. Just like when you wake up, you have to say Shema and then Shemona Esrei. So Avshchiva, when you go to sleep, you have to say Mariv with Shema and Shemona Esrei. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Savar, that's not the parallelism. Makesh Chiva Lekima, like this. Makima, Kriya Shema, Samach Lemita. When you wake up, you say Shema, and then you say Shemona Esrei. But when you're going to sleep, you want your Shema to be associated with going to sleep. Avshchiva, not Misa. First say your Shemona Esrei, and then Kriya Shema, Samach Lemita, so. And that's this Machlokas. Okay, what's interesting is that what do we hold in this Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Tosis over here point out that we hold like Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, which is interesting, and you should kind of keep this in mind, because Tosis and other places say that generally speaking we follow Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan argues with Rav, we follow Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan against Shmuel, against Rish Lakish. We always follow Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, you know, has like the command of the Psak Halacha, except when it's Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi had some special status and that whenever Rabbi Levi says anything, we always follow him. Over here, Tosfos makes the comment that we're passing like Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, which is kind of interesting, anomalous. So it's something to keep in mind. All right, let's stop here. Right.